do it. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. And let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Pull the flag up. One more time.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, ready, begin. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you, everyone. All right, roll call.
Okay. Roll call, here we go. Let me know that you're present. Gloria Alvarado.
Present.
Jesse Benron.
Here.
Trun Lee.
Here.
John Luker.
Here.
I believe Doug Mangione is going to join us late at 9:30. And Carlos Oregon.
Present.
Okay, so we do have a quorum.
Awesome.
And let's see, at this point, I'd like to invite any members of the public who might be online, if you want to raise your hand to address the committee, or you can, if you're calling in, press *9 on your phone. Let me take a look at the list of attendees here. One more time, if there's anyone in the public who'd like to address the committee, please raise your hand or hit *9. We have one person raising their hand. Let's see. Nope. Okay, no hands raised after all. All right then.
All right. No public comment. We'll go into the agenda. Looks like item number 5 is program performance. So Karma, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm actually going to turn it over to Maggie Lopez to go over the Ready, Set, OC Q3 performance report.
Awesome.
We're at item 5A, correct?
Correct.
I'll go ahead and share that in just a second.
And if we could promote Maggie, please.
All right. Maggie.
And Maggie, if you could please, okay, thank you. You're mute.
Good morning.
Adriana, can we zoom in a little?
Sure.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thank you. So we are starting with our Ready, Set, OC performance for fourth quarter for in-school youth. So here we see our expenditures for direct program costs. They had $68,197.04. So year to date, it puts them at the $393,658.03 at 80%. Admin cost is not included on there. So they hadn't submitted it until now. So those will be once they're reviewed by accounting. All these expenditures only include up through May invoices, which is what's been reviewed. Supportive services, they had 3,300 for the quarter, putting them at year to date, 8,445 at 57% expenditures. And for WEX, they had 14,384.75 at year to date, 45,153.51, 56 expenditures, 56%. Or their total for the quarter in expenditures, again, it only includes April and May invoices. Is 85,881.79, putting them at 446,815.99, 69% of expenditures. So once the additional invoices are reviewed, then at that point, their complete year-to-date expenditures would be calculated. For new enrollments, they had 20% for the quarter, total year-to-date, putting them at 56 out of the 130 that they were contracted to serve, which is 43. They also served the 20 carry-ins that they started with. So year to date, that did not change. So total of 150 that they were anticipated to serve, they only served the 76, including both new enrollments and carry-ins. Medium earnings, they were at 3,146.28 for the quarter. Year to date, 2,416, only at 60%. And then for placements, they had 5 placements out of the 116 for the quarter, putting them at only 10 placements, only 9%. For attainment of degree or certificate, they had some graduates, quite a few graduates during the quarter. So they had 20 participants that actually achieved a certificate or degree, and putting them at 24, which brings them to 23%. Literacy and numeracy gains, same thing. 21 for the quarter, so year to date 22, which put them at 29%. For retention with same employer, they had 3 for the quarter out of the 105, so year to date 4%. Then for work experience, they had 9 placements, putting them at 41 for the year, bringing them up to 55% out of the 75 that they were supposed to serve. Program exits, they had 1 exit for in-school youth, putting them at 27 exits for the year out of the 38, bringing them to 71%. And then out of the 20 new enrollments, they all were served within that first week of enrollment. Any questions on that? Okay.
Here we are. Maggie, this is Jesse. So just for point of clarification, when you have like the 46 in quarter four under performance, are some of these duplicative? Like, are some people receiving attainment to degree certificate, but also receiving like a literacy numeracy gain, or these are completely individual? I guess I'm just trying to just so I understand.
No, they may fall under both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you.
A lot of different services, so they may be achieving multiple things during that quarter.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so for out of school, they actually had 96,552.12 in direct program costs, bringing them up to 470,945.09, which only puts them at 44% of expenditures. Again, for the administrative costs, they hadn't submitted any invoices till the end of the fiscal year, so that has not been calculated yet. For supportive services, they had 4,954.20, bringing them at year to date 17,803.46. Only at 29% of expenditures for those categories. And the other ones, they didn't have any expenditures, so those remain the same. I'm not going to go through those. For work experience, they had 21,199.52, bringing them at 24% expenditures for that line item. Total expenditures for that quarter, only including April and May invoices, is $122,705.84, bringing them at 32% of expenditures year to date. For new enrollments for the quarter for out of school, they had 46, bringing them at 138 out of the 345 that they were supposed to serve, which puts them at 40%. And then for carry-ins, they actually started with 105. So out of the 600 that they were supposed to serve, that's where they stand for that one. For medium earnings, $3,848.17 for the quarter. And then for year to date, $3,981.32, bringing them at 100%. So goal was achieved there. For placements, they had 10 placements during that quarter in either military, apprenticeship, trade, education, or employment, bringing them at 13% at 13 year to date for a total of 4%. Attainment of a degree and certificate for out of school was only 3 for the quarter, putting them at 16 out of the 315 that they were supposed to achieve for a total of 5%. Literacy numeracy gains, they had 5, putting them at 10 for the year out of the 225, only at 4%. And then for work experience, 25 for the quarter, for a total of 114 out of 225, putting them at 51% of the participants that were actually offered work experience. Total exits were 10 for the quarter, 93 for the year out of the 113, bringing them at 82%. And then out of the new enrollments that they had for the quarter, the 46, all of them were provided their first class or workshop or training within that first week. Total ITAs that they had during the quarter were 4, bringing them up for a year to date of 10. And OJTs, none for the quarter, but for total, they had 3 for the year. Any questions on that one?
I just want to highlight that I've invited La Habra to the meeting so that they could talk if you guys had any questions or concerns directly to La Habra.
Yeah, Carmen, that'd be great. I mean, just generally, you know, it seems like they were marginally better for this quarter, but I think, you know, but also given the fact that I think, you know, the economy was as open as it could ever be at this point. Still curious again, kind of how the process went with working with students, identifying employers. You think on the employer side, right, there's all this anecdotal, oh, even data is proven like how many more job openings there are. So from the placement standpoint, but I could see how it might be difficult to get students engaged, and it might be over the summer. So it'd be, I'm curious if they could kind of speak to some of the nuances of how this quarter went compared to previous. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It'd be good to kind of, obviously this was a weird year, and it'd be good to understand kind of just how things are trending at this point.
Hi, Al Rodriguez here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hang on.
Go ahead, Al, the floor is yours.
All right, my screen was refreshing. There's my video. Okay. Yeah, you know, as things opened up, we began to really, our numbers are going up, I guess. I'm sorry, I was lost trying to get my screen to work. Essentially, this quarter, as things were opening up, we found things moving along a little bit easier. We were able to be involved in schools. We were able to be a physical presence as schools has opened. That was nice. You can see the bulk of our numbers were coming in the fourth quarter. As far as expenditures, like ITAs, we had some ITAs. They don't appear on that because they will appear on our June billing, which is being reviewed right now. But as far as employers and in going out, you can see our median earnings for the out of school is up and employers are hiring. If you look around, you see a bunch of now hiring signs. And so students are feeling much more comfortable returning to work. So as we are putting them back on WEX, on work experience, those employers are hiring our youth. One of the youth speakers today was hired by his WEX employer. So as things are happening, it's employers are hiring. It's just now a matter of connecting our youth to them and working as fast as we can to make sure they're employed. There's not as much hesitancy with youth. They are returning to work. However, it's just they're being a little bit more choosy on where they would like to work, as well as the other small hiccup is the unemployment is still in effect, and the extra money that students are receiving as a result of the CARES Act is still in place until September 30th. So we're anticipating a big push coming up right soon for jobs and to be placed and for students to just rush in the program. So it's just really kind of working with students, going back to schools, being a presence on there, talking to school districts, and then connecting youth to employers. But employers are ready to hire. It's just trying to get kids back into the swing of things, the youth, I should say, back into that mindset of let's start now, let's not panic, let's not wait until your money runs out, let's start working on this now.
So Al, so you've had students tell you, I don't need to look for work because of the extra money?
Believe it or not, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, that's fair, right? That's something that a lot of people are talking about. I just wanted to confirm that was the case. And then, you know, again, even anecdotal, I know you have to report it, but this is June 20. Oh, is this end of June numbers? So it says June 20, or because, okay, when did this last reporting deadline come in, Karma or Al?
For the fiscal, the financial,
remember? No, for the performance activity.
Oh, no, that is performance as of June, correct.
Yeah, so then we've had, you know, we are now in the first week of August. So Al, maybe anecdotally, has it picked up more? So you said it's true, you picked up the bulk, but then are you going to see this same pace? Do you anticipate the same pace for this upcoming quarter?
We anticipate a faster pace.
Even
we
faster, okay.
A little bit more. Yeah, things are picking up. Staff is very busy. We are restructuring our staff to handle the students that will be coming in. For instance, we're partnering with the California Job Challenge based on Los Alamitos training base, the military base, with the College and Career Preparatory Academy, and that's a charter school run through the Orange County Department of Education. And so in partnership with them, we are looking to enroll nearly 70 students, and that will be done on August 15th. So that alone is really helping us. And so what we do is we provide a support mechanism with them, with our supported services, with our work experience, as they receive career technical education and job training. So things are really picking up now. And so I anticipate things, as things return to normal, I anticipate us hitting our enrollment goals.
Wonderful, thank you.
Any more questions of Al? If not, we'll move on to the Goodwill report.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. So for the Goodwill report, we're going to move over to Jennifer Vasquez. She's going to give us an update on Goodwill. Jennifer, please turn your camera on. And then Adriana, can you pull up the steps performance, please?
Yes.
And Jennifer, you're on mute.
Good morning, everybody. So for the STEPS contract, we have quarter four, the report with Goodwill. So they basically will and are serving for summer employment opportunities, services for participants. We have a total of 314,000 under the contract. I'll get started with the fiscal activities. So for the total budget, we initially started with $168,000. In terms of the direct program cost, that brought Goodwill to $142,544. For administrative cost, we had zero.
Jennifer, it's not, what's on the screen isn't matching what you're saying, so I don't know if we have the right report up.
Let's see.
Yeah.
This is the one that I have, Karma. I don't think you guys have the correct report, Karma.
So Jennifer, we needed you to send that to Adriana and Jenna. Hold just a moment. Go ahead and send it to Adriana. Adriana can get it on the screen.
Let me see.
Or if you have it up, Jennifer, you can, I can stop sharing and you can share your screen.
I still need her to send it so that we can send it to all the board members.
Yeah. Okay. Give me 1 second, Karma. It's been sent, Karma.
Okay, and so can you go ahead and share your screen?
Yes. I don't have access to share the screen, Karma, so I can just go off of the one that Adriana has.
Adriana is going to give you access.
Okay, go.
That I had, let me double check it. I have her here as a panelist already, so it should have given her access.
It didn't, and Jennifer, the email that I just got didn't have an attachment.
So I'm not sure, Karma, why it's coming off as not the same report, but the numbers are the same. I was just going ahead and giving the breakdown, Karma.
We have to see it. So
okay, let me pull it up again. Just a second here.
No, they have to see it, and the numbers that she was saying did not match what was on the screen. So Jennifer, if you could please share your screen. So Adriana is giving you access to share your screen.
Let's see. I think we have some now. Okay. Okay. Can you guys see it?
Yes.
Correct. So you went over the performance, but you said that the contract total
initially was 314,000.
Right, but you said 168. So I need you to be able to highlight where the changes, because at the total you've got 314.
Oh, okay. So I was going over the work experience that we had 168,000 allocated towards work experience.
Okay. So I think you might be talking fast, because what you said is the total contract was 168. So I need you to probably go through it step by step so that we're all on the same page. But proceed, please.
Okay. Sounds good. So for the revised budget, we had an amendment for $497,000 with $70. For support services, we had zero. And for other, we had $4,666 with 32 cents. And the revised budget was a total of $97,070. For year-to-date expenditures, for direct program costs, we had $97,000 and $68 with 49 cents. For administrative costs, we had zero. For support services, we had zero. For other, we had $4,669 with 84 cents. And for current expenditures, $97,000 with 68 cents. and 49 with 49 cents. I apologize. In terms of the balance, we were left off with $156 with 65 cents for direct program cost. For administrative costs, we had zero. For support services, we had zero. And for other, we had $3.52. And this was actually a negative that we had for Goodwill. So for the total, we ended up with $1.51. And do you guys have any questions in terms of the fiscal activities, or I can go ahead and just move on to the program activities.
So before you go on, so their contract is through June 30th, 2022. Can you please advise the board in terms of the funding? Because now they see a $1.51 left. How does this, just kind of mention to them, how will they proceed on to the next year, given that they're down to $1.51?
Yes, so the contract basically was renewed with Goodwill. And so we went ahead and gave Goodwill an extension up to year 2022 of June. And they received funding for $52,000 for the next, for this, since July 1st, it was effective July 1st up to June of 2022.
This is just really a contract period through June 30th of 2020. They've spent down all of their funds and then they're starting again.
Correct.
Okay. So move on. Yeah.
Okay, great. So for the program activities, contract performance measures, we have new enrollments for STEP. The contract goal was for 50. Quarter four, they reported 23. Year to date, we have a total of 37. Performance, percentage, that brings us to a total of 74%. For the new enrollments, for the core enrollment for WIOA services, the contract states 50. The quarter four, they provided 2. And year to date, that brings us to 3, which that brings us to 6%.
The media. I don't know that we need to read every single line. I mean, I think we can see it, and is there anything we want to highlight or talk about? I don't know that we just need to read every line.
Okay, so I mean, just going over the priorities, I would say in terms of the enrollments, the changes that have been made for the upcoming fiscal, you know, the numbers have increased. Other than that, basically business services, I understand that the numbers are pretty low. And this is something that Goodwill is working with their business development department to be able to do more outreach for employers to be able to add participants into different work sites location. And then in terms of the numbers being a bit low with the for the core enrollment as well. So they have created a system with La Habra to be able to core enroll participants into the WIOA program. So you should see those numbers increase for the next quarter as well. Those are two items that I did want to bring up to your attention and kind of, you know, let you know what are solutions moving forward and how we're looking into remedying those. These numbers. Do you guys have any questions?
I went to Karma and the committee about the use of co-enrollment. I mean, I understand the kind of the logical sense of it, but in some ways, aren't we in another way, like padding the stats there? Like, isn't part of the goal to help as many people as possible? I mean, again, there's a quantity quality debate there, but if you're kind of co-enrolling, then it just looks like you've helped the same person 4 different times. And then these organizations can say, we got to help the person to hit our metrics. So what's the balance there? I guess is the general question.
That's a good question. So keep in mind that the STEPS program is only for a small bit of services. So under STEPS, the way it works is that the program design was to provide support to 50 youth with disabilities. And the support was just employment for the most part, right? the intention of co-enrollment was to increase it from 50 youth to 100 youth, right? So although only 50 could be financially covered under the STEPS part of it, if Goodwill enrolled 100 youth that have disabilities, they can refer them over to La Habra to provide total WIOA services. So the intention of co-enrollment is to provide the 100 youth with everything that's available under WIOA, and not just work experience, but at least 50 of the youth go straight over to La Habra. They refer them over to La Habra for full WIOA services. So it's not padding, because this funding only covered a small portion of what we do. I understand your question, and you're right, Jesse, that I see what you're saying, that it could look like that. But in this situation, because we were limited on funding, $314,000 wouldn't have been enough money to provide work experience to 100 youth, period. So in order for us to get there, to provide all the 14 WIOA elements, we have to create a co-enrollment model so that youth get exposure to far more than just work experience. So remember, under WIOA Youth, it's 14 elements, which include tutoring, entrepreneurship skills, post-secondary education, transition, occupational skills training, a whole list of other things which these youth would not get exposure to under the STEPS funding alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so then under the circumstance, it was Goodwill referring people over to La Habra, La Habra.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So for that 50 WIOA youth, in-school youth, so it's 50 youth that have disabilities that they're sending over to La Habra to give the full WIOA services. The first 50 youth, just under STEPS, they provide STEPS services to them, but go ahead and connect them to WIOA as well, so that WIOA can provide them more services beyond that.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much for clarifying.
No problem. Are there any other questions?
I was going to say, obviously, both programs are struggling with COVID and things being closed. I mean, you and your staff are working with them, and we're obviously relying on you guys to have the pulse of what's going on. Do you guys feel confident in both providers that they have the right plans in place to kind of ramp up as the economy and things open up? And or do you have concerns that we should know about?
That's a great question, John. So remember, we talked about bringing business services in-house. So what we've been doing, and you'll see some evidence of this in the full board meeting, Rhonda and her team, which is over the Business Solutions Department, has been going out, connecting with employers and sending OJT opportunities as well as work experience opportunities directly to our service providers to help them find employers to place participants at. So I think that's one strategy we've adopted in-house to help them. And Rhonda will, like I said, talk about that at the one-stop committee. I think that across the board, there has been some struggles. The other thing the board asked us to do, which we will have for the full board meeting, is you asked us to go back and find out with San Diego, LA, all the surrounding workforce areas, what happened or what has been their experience with COVID. And we do have that information. We're putting it together now to present it at the full board meeting. I think that looking at the data of other workforce areas, knowing that we're going into openings, knowing that employers are calling us daily, asking us for help, I think there's plenty of opportunity here for both service providers to course correct and get more youth placed into employment. I know it's happening. Now, I don't know if the disconnect is still where you still have the concerns about COVID. They're still collecting unemployment, because remember, the unemployment cliff doesn't end until September. And then I just saw something saying the EDD is going to give back payment to people that they've missed. So I think that for the next 6 months, we may still see a lag in interest in work, because the employment cliff doesn't end until September. And then EDD just put out that they'll be back paying individuals for unemployment benefits that they missed. So I think we're going to see some improvement, not 100% improvement, for at least 6 months. And
I would just say, I mean, just so I guess I have it in my head now. And I believe like all the workforce boards at the state level kind of come together, but I think that as a practice to understand a workforce board, whether COVID or not, that have been kind of hitting their metrics or have good numbers. Again, I don't know if there's kind of a best practice sharing. That would be interesting to know. I mean, I understand like obviously COVID dominated kind of everyone's life, but you also just think about like, is the WIB and our contractors providing the services they need just without COVID being an issue, right? Just like our mandates in general, because, you know, it's hopefully, you know, I know there's a Delta variant, we'll get out of this soon. And then it's just going to be a kind of a more normal economy. And is our WIB kind of functioning as it should to kind of meet the needs of the people of Orange County? So again, probably not out of the scope of this meeting, but I would encourage that data be brought in to say someone, I don't know, in Silicon Valley or whatever region, Fresno, they're actually doing really good work. And what could be brought to Orange County to do that? Or maybe Orange County is leading the way. I'm not quite sure. I think that data would be helpful.
Funny you should say that, because it's interesting. So we do have data before COVID. So what my team did is they went out and collected data from 2018, 2019, right before COVID, how these other workforce boards performing, right? And then we send a survey to workforce boards around us and said, okay, how did you do in 19, 20 and 2021? Like I said, we'll be presenting that information at the upcoming board meeting so that we all can see what surrounding workforce areas have done. Interesting enough, I do sit on board calls with all 45 workforce development board directors. We have been asked to present some of our ideals and best practices that we brought. To be honest with you, we are one of the only workforce boards that stayed open. Most of the workforce boards fully closed, still haven't opened, or still taking clients by appointments only, which is very interesting. Wow. So like right now, I think there are workforce boards near us that still aren't 100% open, still just doing virtual, which I find to be very interesting because as you know, we didn't close. We basically asked our service providers to continue to stay open, to continue to set, to provide services. Now, I do know that Goodwill and La Habra did at some point go virtual only, but we've asked them to open back up when the Orange County reduced the requirement, the stay in order or stay in place requirements. We did ask all of our service providers to go back to being open, to go back to providing services both virtually and face to face. So this report will be very interesting. I can tell you that looking at it, LA still did amazingly well despite the pandemic. So I'm going to be really excited to present this to you because it's very interesting data.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Awesome.
I also I'm sorry. I just want to point out that I did ask Goodwill to join us so that you guys can ask Goodwill questions directly as well.
Karma, this is Trung. I was informed that Goodwill has some staffing issues. They lost some staff and so not sure if you guys are in touch with them often to engage with them regarding if they're fully staffed and what are the challenges in serving the consumer in the STEPS program.
So for our STEPS program, Chris Stoner has been here the entire time. He didn't leave, right? They do have one person dedicated to this program. So because it was 50, well, technically 100 youth, they only had one case manager assigned to this program. I will say that even though the organization might have had some challenges, we didn't have the challenges with employment for this program. In addition to that, I will say that I've personally sat in presentations that Chris Stoner presented in front of convening groups like the Asperger Foundation and other organizations. And I also had meetings where people share with me that they've been connecting with Goodwill to help out with the STEPS program. So I know that they've gone above and beyond to try to connect and create a pipeline. I think that the challenges is one of the biggest challenge was that this population was the hardest hit with COVID, the individuals with disabilities. It was one of the harder and one of the populations that was affected most by COVID. So I understand why the performance wasn't quite where it should be, but I know that in terms of talking to the states and strategies that Goodwill has moving forward, the state is excited about where we're going with this. They're going to offer entrepreneurship. We didn't talk about this, but I might as well throw it out there. They're going to offer entrepreneurship opportunities for their participants moving forward and some other strategies. So I do think that they have a good grasp on their population. And I do think that they do have some really good strategies and plans on how to move forward and connect with employers, but also connect with their population.
All right, thanks, Karma.
Okay, so moving on, just to close it out in terms of the report for quarter four, for program participation for training services, participated in the first class workshops training. The number that I do want to point out is the number of within the first week of program enrollment, we had 20. So individuals that have been receiving services, workshops, attending workshops that Goodwill has hosted. And then in terms of vocational training services as well, we have a number of four for this quarter, for year to date. Do you guys have any other questions? And if not, we can just go ahead and move on.
We'll move on. So are we ready to move on to program staff updates?
Well, I just want to make sure, do you guys have any questions for Goodwill? Because we did ask them to attend.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Any questions before we move on? Great. Okay, then we can move on.
All right, item six, youth program staff updates, youth with impact.
So I'm going to turn it over to Maggie to give us an update on the youth with impact. Just a high note, there was another graduation ceremony yesterday afternoon. Adriana, can we promote Maggie back to the panel?
Oh, I thought she was still there. Let's see. Okay.
I'm still panelist. I think I could.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So during fourth quarter, we started our third session of Earn and Learn program. For that round or for that session, we started with 14 participants. This program is typically a 10-week program where participants attend 3 hours per week. Our service provider and the youth wanted to pilot something that was shorter term, so we piloted it as a 5-week program. That's why it ended recently and we had a graduation. The success rate wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. It was a lot of work for the youth to be able to complete six hours per week and all the curriculum that, or the hours that they had to put in to complete that final venture project was a little bit challenging with school and work and everything else that they had going on. So moving forward, we've decided that it will continue to be a 10-week program. We had a graduation that took place and four projects were presented where we actually got to hear from the youth on what they selected as a final project. And they gave a short, I think this time around, it was mainly they pre-recorded their presentations and presented it to the group. So we have been getting graduation dates very late and therefore we weren't able to distribute it. But in the future, we have asked Youth with Impact to provide us graduation dates in advance so that we can share those dates with you guys and have you guys attend. Any questions on that?
Maggie, the graduation ceremony yesterday was recorded, right?
Correct. And I believe that they're going to send it out to us. But once we get it, you can send it out.
Perfect.
If you don't have anything else, move on to 2110C updates. So during the quarter, we actually had 10 participants still assigned to 2110C West. Three of them were youth, five were adult, and two DW. Dislocated workers. They've all completed by the end of the quarter, and our next session is scheduled to start in August. We actually have a meeting with 211 to decide or have a target date, start date for the next session.
Maggie, can you remind them what the 211OC program is?
So 211 provides participants 12 weeks of paid work experience where they're actually working remotely. They are provided training on how to serve callers that are calling in to 211 to provide referrals and services for anything that they may need out in Orange County. So they typically work 30 hours a week for the 12 weeks, which they're paid for at an hourly wage of California minimum wage, $14 an hour. Once they complete, hopefully our goal is to have them obtain unsubsidized employment and something that they've gained. And in some cases, 211 has hired our participants. I think for the year, they actually ended up hiring 5 participants once they completed, those that excelled.
Are there any questions or concerns about our two programs? I have to highlight that number C is a typo. I apologize.
Maggie, is this program gonna be continue for some time, or what's the goal?
Yes, our goal is to continue, and we have a meeting scheduled this week to target the next cohort start date. So we start them in cohorts because it's easier for them to train. They actually have two positions that they do. One of them is updating their database, and the other one is answering phone calls. So we actually have a date with 201 and all the different providers to ensure that we get a good group of participants to start, hopefully at the end of this month.
End of this month. And then how many, what is the cohort, the size of the cohort we're looking at?
It really depends on what we get. We have anywhere from 6 to 10 participants starting at any given time. And then what we do is we try to stagger them. So before this first group ends, we'll have a next group started and getting screened so that by the time right before they end, we have a new group starting.
Okay. And if we have some student with disabilities interested in this program, how can we connect them to this program?
So typically because it's WIOA funded, we just have to make sure that they're enrolled with one of our service providers. Mm-hmm. From there, they provide the referral, they screen them, and then we get them started.
Okay.
Screen them to make sure they're a good fit, yeah. Any other questions?
Nope.
Then we can go to item 7. I apologize for that typo.
Okay. Location updates. Who's handling that, Kramer?
Maggie again.
That's also me. Sorry. Okay. The Ready Set OC services are provided daily, both in person and virtually, at the City of La Habra location, Orangewood Foundation, Garden Grove One Stop, Manchester Office Building. And then they're also providing services via the mobile unit by appointment only, though. And Manchester Office Building finally opened their doors this last quarter. Before we were still able to service the youth, but we were having to meet them outside and it was on a limited basis. Right now, they've released that. So we're officially open to everybody.
Maggie, can you remind them what population serve through the Manchester office building?
So at the Manchester office building, we're mainly serving justice involved youth. So a lot of those referrals are coming from probation, either from people that were recently released, sometimes from the courts as well, and or from the leadership academy. So the camps, juvenile hall, as they're getting released and stuff. So we're trying to make that connection where we've partnered and we're going to be able to provide services while they're still at the facilities. So we're trying to work that out to where once they're getting close to release or they see that they're a good fit, they're going to allow us to come to the Youth Guidance Center and to the Leadership Academy to start serving some of those participants to get them early on.
Maggie, this is Jesse. So the data as far as the amount of people who are going through the Orangewood Foundation or the Manchester office building or the One Stop, that is presented at the board meeting?
Those numbers are all counted on there. They're not separated by location.
Guys, so sorry, that's why. So the data then we received are people going to these locations?
Correct.
From La Habra and Goodwill?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, no. So I take that back. So La Habra is the one providing Ready Set OC services at all these locations. Goodwill is different. I'm not sure. Jennifer could probably answer that one.
It's okay though. So that's why. So this is we're seeing the numbers of the capacity of which these four locations are through the La Habra numbers, but no other numbers.
No.
But there should be other people going into these locations at all, or is that not the case?
So these are all our locations. So La Habra manages our Ready Set OC program, and we offer our Ready Set OC program at 4 locations right now. We are going to expand, but right now that's the 4 locations. So when you look at the La Habra numbers, those numbers consist of obtaining youth from one of these 4 access points. And then for Goodwill, they're serving them directly at Goodwill.
Okay, but there are no other WIO involved youth at these facilities if they're not referred to that facility by La Habra?
No.
There are a bunch of other services being provided at that time as well.
No. So at Orangewood Foundation, Orangewood Foundation is its own organization, and they provide a space in their facilities for our Ready, Settle, Seat program. So the Manchester office building is on the campus, but we provide our Ready, Settle, Seat program there. So there are other services and organizations near there, but our Ready, Settle, Seat program is in that location as well. If that makes any sense. So our WIOA youth are served in one of these four access points.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that update. We ready to move on to success stories, Karma?
Yes. So Maggie, okay. I'm going to open up for Maggie to let us know if she has any success stories, and or after Maggie, then Jennifer will give us her success stories.
We do have two for Ready, Set, OC. Adriana, I'm sorry, you have access to those. Would you be able to give them access to speak? We have two.
Yes, I've just promoted them. If Jeremy and Leanne can go ahead and unmute themselves.
And I don't know if they have camera access. Here we go.
Hi.
Morning. Hello.
Should I start?
Yes, please.
Okay, awesome. So my name is Jeremy, and I am very happy to be here and advocate on behalf of Ready, Set, OC, as they've done nothing but benefit my life, right? So let's see, I joined the program back in, I'm going to say February, around that time, and pretty much from how I heard of this this agency, this temp agency, was through my therapist, through the court, and he was like, you know, first he was like, try OCAPICA. And so I went to OCAPICA and attended an orientation, and I didn't really get anywhere with that. So I let him know. And then he was like, okay, well, there's this other program that you can try out called OCYC, right? And so that's when I reached out to OCYC, and I got a hold of my case manager at the time. Her name was Robin. And so we just kept in contact for a couple of weeks. And pretty much what ended up happening was she mentioned something about 211 having this thing, the 12-week program that you guys were talking about. And so I was like, I didn't know anything about 211, right? I just knew that, you know, I really wanted to do it because I've called 211 in the past and, you know, they helped me out, and I didn't know much about it or what I was getting myself into. All I really knew is that I wanted to do it really badly. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to partake in the program. And so I started working at 211 for those 12 weeks, and I got a lot of experience out of it. You know, I was an INR, and I took a bunch of phone calls from a lot of different people throughout the county in both English and Spanish. And so, you know, it was a really good time, I'm not gonna lie. I enjoyed talking to all these people over the phone and trying my best to help them out. And so my assignment end date was June 20th. And as the time was coming near, I was kind of hoping that they would just keep scheduling me so I can keep working, right? And because I didn't want to leave the company. And that's actually pretty much what happened by mistake. You know, I got my schedule for the following week after the 20th. And I asked my supervisor about it. And she was like, oh yeah, no, sorry, your last day is Friday. And, you know, I was kind of bummed out because I wanted to keep working for them. But so that assignment ended, and then I was like, all right, so what am I going to do now? And so OCYC, by this time, my case manager, Robin, was already, she left the company. So I got in touch with Amanda. And ever since then, she's just been my go-to, right? And so by the following week, I already had another job at Friar Tux. And, you know, so it was awesome because I didn't go, you know, a single week without the paycheck. And so I started working at Friar Tux, you know, like 30 hours a week, just to get some more work experience in. And, you know, it was a good time, a lot of cool people there. But the thing is I didn't know that 211 would actually reach out back out to me because they wanted to hire me. And when Amanda told me that, you know, my supervisor is reaching out and trying to look for me, I was like, there's no way this is happening, right? Like, there's no way. Why would they want to hire me? Like, because don't you know who I am? You know, I got into trouble, right? Like I said, I was referred here through a court program. I'm on probation. I have a record, right? And so I was like, there's no way they're going to hire me. And they offered me a position, full-time position as an INR, doing exactly what I was doing before, working from home. And I was talking to my case manager, Amanda, and, you know, I was like, okay, but what about the background check, right? And that's what I was, you know, concerned about. And so I accept the position. They offered me the position before I even filled out the application, right? I was just, you know, I was kind of confused because I was like, why does it seem like they're doing this backwards? You know what I mean? Offered me the job before I even filled out the application. And then they do the background check. And, you know, I did get that pre-adverse action notice, right? So, you know, I was like, this is not good. You know, I'm not going to get the job because of my criminal record. And so I reached out to Amanda and I was like, what should I do? And so she helped me dispute it. And I wrote the letter disputing the pre-adverse action notice, which I had 5 days to do. And apparently they really liked what I had to say because they ended up hiring me. And I actually start work at 12:30 today for 211 taking phone calls. And, you know, I'm so happy that I'm in this position where I'm at now, because just a few months ago, I was lost. You know, before I came to the Ready Set OC, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have work experience that was positive, right? Because I've been fired from every single job I've ever had before at C11, you know? I'm in recovery, and people like me don't do well at work. People like me struggle getting jobs. And, you know, it just goes to show that one thing I realized is that honesty is like the best policy, right? Because, you know, the whole way through, I was just honest about my background. You know, I was crawling in my skin as I was filling out this job application, saying that, you know, I worked here and I worked there in the past. These are the two people that fired me, and here's the number that you can reach them at. Okay. And, you know, that was very uncomfortable because I was like, this is crazy. And I wish I didn't have to explain these things, right? And then I'm writing, you know, my story of disputing the pre-adverse action notice. And I'm just honest with them, you know, explaining them my situation and telling them where I'm currently at, where I was before and why I was there and what I've learned, basically. And, you know, throughout this entire time, I've had help from Ready Set OC, from my case managers. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate that I had this job, you know, I really enjoy. And, you know, it's just done nothing but make my life better. And I learned a lot. And, you know, it's taught me the significance of work ethics and the importance of being able to maintain the job, not only get it, but hold it down. And, you know, and I think it's the perfect job for me, right? Because, you know, most people calling C11 aren't calling because things are going their way. So, you know, I know my callers pretty well, to say the least. And so that's why I feel like they hired me, because, you know, I'm young, right? But I know what it's like, right? And I feel like my experiences can benefit others. So it's just been nothing but a learning experience for me. And I'm very blessed and fortunate that I had Ready Set OC by my side the entire time, because, you know, rent was due in 2 weeks and I didn't have a job, you know, and they set me up with 211. And I was like, okay. Thank God, right? Now I could stay here and continue going to my AA meetings nearby. And so I wouldn't be here, you know, if it wasn't for Ready Set OC. I wouldn't have so much positivity and, you know, all these good things happening and these doors opening for me. And, you know, I go to court now and the judge claps for me. My PO, you know, isn't on my case like she was before, right? I'm staying busy. And, you know, once I complete this court program, the charges do get dropped, right? And, you know, I do this because it really isn't even about the money. I just know that for me, I have to stay busy and, you know, keep my mind occupied. Because when it comes to people like me and too much time on my hands or our hands, it doesn't mix very well, right? So I just stay focused and it gives me something to do all day. And I'm just truly grateful for what the program's given me. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Uh, I think the next individual, Lynn.
Hi, my name's Lynn. Yeah, I started out, I think it was about, well, first I graduated and then I had many months of just having to go through like many interviews. Majority of which I never really passed the first interview, first round. And I had to go through many months, probably more to close to even like half a year of unemployment or so. And then I was very much in a panic because I guess I was just worried how to be able to help out my parents and whatnot. I found actually the youth workforce ad just do like a quick Google. And I actually was hesitant because I didn't really know if it was real or not. But through the call, I managed to at least get enrolled in program. I got enrolled through Ocapica, and my case manager at the time was Justin, and he managed to help me out at least. Get enrolled to the program through Ocapica, and I think a couple of months later, I was able to worked with Ocapica as an intern for the policy program. From there, I mainly helped out with like census and also at least do like other like outreach events for being able to get resources for people, Asian and Pacific Islanders. And I believe that lasted until like February of last year or so. And then after that, because Ocapica and many other organizations and APU had to close down their youth workforce, which meant that all of the participants, such as myself, ended up moving over to the Orange County Youth Center and had to do the re-enrollment and all process all over again. And that from there, I got connected with Robin, who was my case manager. And she helped me out with like interviews, resumes, with work experience. And my first, I guess, quote unquote job, so to speak, was with 2N1OC. And I helped him out with also kind of similar with Jeremy answering calls. But I also helped out creating like Excel sheets, so to speak, or like some sort or sorts of reports so they can keep track of what kind of centers or resources that we had available or were open at the time. And this was around 2020 or so. And then after that, experience lasted for about maybe close to the end of that summer. So I ended up, after that it ended, and then Robin asked for the opportunity, which was to work at the Orange County Youth Center as a part-time clerk. And I remember going through the interview process and then having to wait probably more so like more than 6 months of just no response. And so from there, I just back to unemployment or just working like pretty much any temp job that I can find within that period. Some of which I managed to only get was the, for the election was just working as like one of the vote centers that only lasted for at least a couple, like at least a week or so. And back to that, it was just unemployment. But I think it was a miracle for me that I was actually going through personal stuff. So I think the Orange County Youth Center really did like boost up my my confidence when I finished get the position as a clerk. And and I'm very happy that they allowed me into the center because they were able to help me out with resumes. And at the moment, I'm still going through personal stuff, but I'm happy that many of their participants, how much they were willing to help out. Seeing how they were able to help out like support services, work experience, and even like helping others be able to get their diploma through like John Muir and Pathways. So I'm really happy to be part of that type of department. And I'm really thankful that you're continuing to invest in that type in tech environment. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks to Lynn and Jeremy. I mean, you guys are the reason that we're all here trying to do this, and we want to make sure that we give you guys the support that you guys need to be successful. And yeah, so we're super thankful for you guys taking the time out of your day and to kind of share with us your experience. And yeah, you're the reason we're all here.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to do it. It's honestly, it's the least I can do for all that, you know, OCYC has done for me. Right. You know, they helped me out a lot. And, you know, if they're able to help me out and, you know, so much, you know, I can only imagine how many other people that they can help out as well. Right. And so, yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to make sure we give the other testimonies, our success stories. I'm not sure if we have any. Adriana, do we have Goodwill? You're on mute.
Going to promote Chris Stoner here to a panel.
Thank you.
And I believe he's going to introduce Greg to us.
Hi, great. So this is Chris Stoner over at Goodwill of Orange County. I've got Greg here in my office who's going to be sharing his story. So I will turn it over to Greg.
Hey.
Hi, Greg.
I am very nervous.
Relax. Don't worry. We're all friendly.
So yeah, as you know, I'm Greg, Greg Loisa. I started this, I started in this program probably late last year. I believe my school put the program out and tried to push as many kids as possible to kind of get into the program. And I wanted to take advantage of that opportunity. So yeah, I signed up. And after the school ended, I got into the program and started to get into some classes that started to teach me about good etiquette and how you should dress and help me write my resume and help me get tools to find more jobs. And they themselves helped me find a job that was very fun. I'm still doing it right now. And it's a really good experience for me.
So where is your work experience at right now, Greg?
It's at the Frida Cinema right now.
Yeah. What kind of tasks do you do over at the Frida?
I generally clean, do customer service, customer support, and support out. I just pick up the phone. I help people if they call. I clean the theaters, mop the floors, and serve food, popcorn, pizza, drinks. And I help people who are buying tickets or need to scan their tickets.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever had any work experience before that?
I have not had any work experience, so yeah, I wanted to take advantage of that.
Yeah, your first go around, huh?
Because I have absolutely no idea anything, where to start about getting a job. I don't. I volunteered a few times, but that was mostly my mom just putting that on me. I had no idea how to even start with that. So I'm very grateful that the Google was able to help me find a job and give me some good work experience.
Great. Thank you so much, Greg.
Well done. Thank you.
I think that's it for our success stories, John.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again to everyone. And we'll move on to the last item on the agenda, I guess the grant matrix. Carmen, you want to walk through that?
So I actually asked Aaron to present the grant matrix. Aaron, if you don't mind.
Good morning. So I'm going to give you an update on the grant matrix from the previous quarter. So the STEPS was mentioned earlier. The STEPS program was renewed for this for a second year for this fiscal year. So we do, again, Goodwill will continue as mentioned, to provide that program. The other programs that, the other grants that are continuing, we again have our VEAP program, which is the veterans program. And if you want to scroll down, and then we have two regional grants that are still currently active. And that is our regional 3.0 and regional 4.0 grant, to those two grants. And that really funds the regional activities that we do with Santa Ana Workforce and NIM Workforce under and working with our regional organizer, Annette Whittle, Cully Whittle. And then we also have a COVID employment recovery grant, which is OJT's, and that is continuing as well. And we also have AB 1111, which again is a program working with adult with disabilities. And again, that's through Goodwill. There you go. And then prison to employment, that is a grant that is still active as well, but that is actually led by Santa Ana Workforce Development Board. So we do have contact with them and work with them on that, but they are the lead on that program. We are grants pending. We are actually finalizing the application for this grant. And again, it's a dislocated worker grant, and it's going to focus on reaching those historically marginalized populations who are dislocated right now and getting them employment. And so that application will be submitted shortly. So that's updates on current grants that we have going. Any questions? All right, thank you.
Thanks, Steph. Awesome. Right. That leads us into our last item here in terms of open discussion. Does anyone have any items? Karma, did you have any summation or anything that you wanted to bring up? Or
I think for the sake of this committee, we're open to any ideas or suggestions that you have on ways for us to move forward. We're continuously looking for opportunities to expand program services. So we're aggressively seeking new grants so that we can expand youth services in Orange County. We're also meeting with the community colleges to create new pipeline programs. We've had a conversation with Saddleback to potentially put together a drone program for youth. We just met with Coastline Community College yesterday to talk about an EA sports program for youth, because we know that that's an industry that's up and coming and that there's a lot of money in that. So hopefully we'll be able to report to you soon that we have some programs that we're going to introduce to this community that will connect to our WEAL youth, but then also be offered to all youth in Orange County. The other program that I want to remind everyone, I know that I sent the board a flyer on this, was Futuro Health. We partnered with Futuro Health to create an opportunity for our WEAL participants, both youth and adults, to attend training or obtain certifications in four different pipelines through Futuro Health for basically no cost. One of the primary programs is the dental assistance program. It's about a eight to nine month program where the youth or the adult will walk out with a certification at no cost to them under WEOA. But if they're not eligible for WEOA, it's only about, I believe it's $120 fee and then $20 a month. Is that correct, guys? So it's very inexpensive to get a certification through them. They received a grant, and so they're opening up that opportunity to all Orange County residents. And so if you need me to, I can send you a flyer again so that you can help promote or share this information, because again, it's not just for our WEOA youth, it's also open to all youth and adults in Orange County.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to give me some ideas or things that they want us to focus on and bring to the table as well.
Karma, this is Kathy, and it's probably because I'm new that I'm going to state this question, so everyone else forgive me. But when it comes to all those grants, it was really exciting. And I know when you're writing and earning grants, it's you have these measurable goals that you're talking about. Is there any document that's already put together showing like a status check on outcomes as it relates to the funding that has been received from a like quantitative or even qualitative perspective, like a chart or something like that? Or has that been something that's been developed?
Well, we typically do it by committee. So with the youth committee right now, we don't have any other special grants than STEPS. So today when Jennifer did the presentation on STEPS, that is a special grant. And we are providing you an update on the outcomes of that special grant. The WEAL grant is formula funds. We're giving you an update on our performance with that. We don't do it all together. We kind of break it up because if we try to do it all together, this meeting would be 4 hours, or not 4 hours, probably longer than 4 hours. So we separate it by committee so that we can stick to the appropriate committee and then break down the information and then talk about how to move forward. So the answer is yes. You'll have to, the challenge is you have to sit on every committee to hear it all.
I'm wondering, is there a way to have it where it's not necessarily part of the meeting, but it's in a document that can be looked at asynchronously? Just a thought for suggestion where we could look at it in our own time.
The agendas. So the agendas will have it. So if you'd like, even if you don't attend each committee, if you want a copy of the agendas, we can certainly make that available to you.
Okay. I might be saying this wrong, but you know that document that was just shown by the person just before you started speaking, the multiple different grants?
Yes.
What I'm kind of saying is on the right-hand side of that, the outcomes as they start appearing, because they're probably all in process right now. They're not, I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
No, I understand what you're saying, okay. But what I'm saying to you is that, for example, she presented to you on that list, we have a BEAT grant. BEAT grant is an adopt program. So in the adopt committee, he has a report that he provides to the adopt one-stop committee on BEAT performance, right? So the other grant she mentioned was regional grant. Well, the regional grant is for Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Orange County. So we'll present that at the full board meeting, right?
Okay, got it. Okay. I hear you.
Nick, just a question, Karma, again, just what's your general impression of capacity, right? So I think with the Youth with Impact, like of the, I guess, your ability, how many students or youth could actually enter the program and how many, right? I guess it does have the capacity to serve and how many enter the program, and not just that program in particular, but just generally, what's your sense of, you know, are we operating at 60%, 80%? Is it full? Are we having to turn away? So I guess, again, part of it is then, you know, us thinking about, us helping you think about, well, then how do we get the word out so young people apply, right? And what are the avenues to do that? So probably that's where I'm getting at, but yeah, that's probably why I posed the question.
So Jesse, to be perfectly honest with you, we are underperforming, meaning that for the capacity we should have as a workforce area and the amount of money we receive as a workforce area, we don't serve nearly enough people. So when we start looking at other workforce areas and their capacity and how many youth they're reaching, we're not there. We did a survey about 2 years ago of how many youth are in Orange County that actually qualify for our program. Because as you know, being dislocated from the education system, low income, we have a lot of them just in college students alone, right? But unfortunately, we are not touching them. So one of our strategies we thought was to bring it to one service provider, because remember, in the past, the issue was we had several different service providers and they were doing several different programs. And it seemed to be a challenge with other organizations navigating that, right? And so one of the ways to get ahead of that was to, okay, let's get rid of these barriers to connecting with us. Let's have a one door system where anybody can refer to us and youth can be served. Now, what happened is COVID happened. So where I thought that by having one provider, one door in, or well, not one door, multiple doors technically in, because now there's no wrong door, right? I thought that would increase the number of youth in our program, in our youth program, but it didn't. And I think there's COVID did play a factor, but then I think outreach is another challenge, which is why we hired that third party marketing firm, because I think we have a problem. There are a lot of youth in Orange County that are eligible for our program that are simply not touching. And I don't know exactly why. So I'm trying different exercises to try to address that. And then if none of those exercises work, then we need to do a deeper dive into what's wrong. But one of them is knowledge of the program existing. So which you'll hear a lot of people saying, I found out through word of mouth, or I find out through my school. But that hadn't always been the case, because remember, we weren't connected to the education system, K through 12, like we should have been, right? The other challenge was through the court system, me meeting with them, they said, Karma, I don't know how to send them to you. So now that we have this MLB center, now Orange County court system knows exactly how to send them to us, right? So we're trying to address that and trying to identify and make it easy for people to connect with us. But you're right, we're not where we should be. We have far too much money that we receive as a workforce system, and a lot of youth in Orange County that would qualify, and I haven't put my thumb on it just yet. And I know COVID is kind of in the way of why we're not connecting and what do we need to do to course correct.
Yeah, and I would say, well, you brought up do you know what tactics those other regions are using? And have you implemented some of those? Or again, is there that opportunity to kind of to brain share? Why reinvent the wheel, right?
Yeah, so I think one of the things is they had established programs. So they already had established brand, right? So it was one brand, for example, let's use LA example. LA had a brand, they had a service provider they've had for many years and their brand was already out there. So people knew about it. When we had 8 different service providers, remember when we procured those service providers changed. So sometimes the brand and the name changed, right? So that was one issue that we had in Orange County that I tried to address. We rebranded to Ready, Set, OC. So that way it's Ready, Set, OC everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, what we didn't have that we now have with Kathy on the board is we really didn't have a finger on K-12, somebody that could connect through all the schools in Orange County and let them know that, hey, this exists. Give us a platform to talk more about what we have and how we can serve them. In addition to that, access location. So where in the past it was kind of scattered around, not kind of clear. As we build up and find more locations and create these one-stops in each supervisor district, I think that it will be easier for people to access us or to know that we exist because now we're community-based and not service provider-based. I hope that makes sense to you. But I think that was part of the problem in the past. When people identified with us in the past, they identified with us as OCAPICA and we're not OCAPICA. So I think that was an issue that I think you heard it today when you talked about, hey, I was with OCAPICA. Technically, no, you were with Ready, Set, OC, but you didn't even know it, right? So there are a lot of challenges and we're trying to break those down. We're working with the third party marketing firm to help us identify strategies, but also create a marketing plan. Also, we have a weak social media presence. So that's another thing that the third party marketing firm is gonna help us with is a social media presence directly for youth. So that we can get their attention, that they do feel like this program is for them and that it will help them achieve their goals. So I think we've got some strategies. I want to see if they work before we dive any further, but we have talked to and we visited other workforce systems before COVID happened to figure out what are you doing? How does it work? So I can compare to what we were doing and then try to strategize to see if that would make a difference. It's just kind of COVID got in the way of some of my strategies.
No problem. But I can guarantee you the working through Kathy and bringing her on board will be one that will definitely work. So Karma, I thank you so much. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm confident that there will be a lot of progress on this front. So thank you.
All right. If there's no further items, does anyone have anything else? All right. We will call this meeting adjourned then. Thank you everyone for joining in, and we'll see you at the next board meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everyone.